Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that bell, I want you to think, oh, where's my Bible? And then go get that and open up your Bible and follow along with me as a good student would do in a Sunday school class. Because what we're doing is studying a Sunday school lesson, one that was written many years ago by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of March 11th, 1923. And it is a Sunday school lesson about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The main text for this lesson comes from the book of Luke, chapter 22. And in just a moment, we're going to begin in Luke chapter 22, and I'll read verses 39 through 43, or 39 through 44. That's where we will begin. And at that point, then, we'll pick up this lesson by E.A. Elam. So be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. And while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this Radio Bible School. The meeting house for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff is located along the McMinnville-Viola Road, just across from Mount Zion Road at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain. We have Sunday morning worship at 10 a.m. and then Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. We have two periods of Bible study. Before worship on Sunday morning, we meet at 9 a.m., and then on Wednesday evening, we have Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Now let us begin with the Bible study for this class session today. And I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 44. And it says, "And it came out and went as his custom was unto the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was parted from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground." Jesus came to the three disciples, doubtless for sympathy. He did this three times. "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none." It says in Psalm chapter 69 and verse 20. And so a second time, Matthew 26:42, Jesus went away and repeated his prayer, saying the same words. Luke in verse 44 says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, with his sweat becoming as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground." This expresses, as no language can, the anguish of the Savior. Now in Luke chapter 22, verses 45 and 46, we read, "And when he arose up from his prayer, he came unto the disciples, and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Arise and pray, that ye enter not into temptation." Jesus found the three sleeping for sorrow. It was past midnight. Their minds had been on a constant strain for hours. They saw Jesus was in great distress, although they knew not what it all meant. Reaction had set in, and they had fallen asleep in the stillness of the night. It is said that great sorrow stupefies. And Jesus said unto Peter, Jesus addressed Peter because Peter was forward in declaring that he would die rather than desert Jesus. Jesus earnestly asked, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Matthew 26 and verse 40. It seems to us they could, yet under less strain we fall asleep when we should watch. The three knew not what to say, according to Mark 14 and verse 40. The sympathy of Jesus for the three apostles was aroused, and he exhorted them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation. While they had not watched with him, they should not cease to watch themselves and their surroundings, that they enter not into temptation. While this is applicable for all time, it had a special reference to the trials just before the apostles in the betrayal and death of Jesus. In spirit, they were willing to remain and watch with him, but the flesh was weak. So yet, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Hence the constant need of daily watchfulness, repentance, and confession of sins to God. James chapter 15 and verse 16 says, "Confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much." John would later write in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and reading down through 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." And so, picking back up now with Elam's notes, Jesus would pray, "Not my will, but thine be done." Again, Jesus went to the three. He found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they knew not what to answer him, Mark 14:40. They did not know what excuse to offer for sleeping at that time. As soon as Jesus would leave them, they would fall asleep. For the third time, he offered up the same petition. The greatest event of all was the victory Jesus gained when he said, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt," Matthew 26:36. This changed the cross into the crown and turned Gethsemane into the way into paradise. In deep earnestness and intensity of feeling, he did this. God approves of importunity in prayer, springing from earnest, honest hearts. Such prayers are not vain repetitions. While Jesus must suffer death and endure the shame of the cross, his conduct shows that he gained composure and strength through prayer. Just when the angel appeared is not stated, but he came to strengthen and comfort the Savior for all that was to come upon him. "Sleep on now and take your rest," Jesus said in Mark 14:41. They could do nothing more at that time for Jesus. He sympathized with them, weary and tired. The watch was over. The struggle had passed. He had gained the victory, and in calm composure was ready to march on to death. It was enough. The hour had come, and the Son of Man was betrayed into the hands of sinners, his murderers. "Arise, let us be going," Mark 14:42. He was now ready in obedience to God and in triumphant victory over the flesh to go on to death. "Behold, he that betrayeth me is at hand," because Judas was approaching with the mob, and Jesus was betrayed with a kiss. In Luke chapter 22, verses 47 and 48, While he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? While he yet spake, just after Jesus had returned with the 3 to the other 8 apostles, and while he was talking with them, Judas came with this great armed multitude. The multitude consisted of the bands of soldiers, the chief captain, the officers of the chief priest, and the Pharisees, John 18:3 and John 18:12, are captains of the temple, and some of the chief priests and elders, we read in Luke 22:52, with some servants such as Malchus and his kinsmen, John 18:10 and verse 26. The weapons were the swords of the soldiers and clubs of the rest. They carried lanterns and torches, John 18:3, thinking Jesus would hide in the shadows of the garden or valleys or crags of the mountain, for the moon was always full during the Passover. And then in verse 48 and 49 of Luke chapter 22, we read how Jesus said to them, let me get to this, Luke 48 and 49, but Jesus said unto them, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they that were about him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? It was as they advanced that Judas stepped forward, saying, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. By this sign they were to know which one was Jesus. Jesus knew Judas's heart. We read in verse 50, a certain one of them smote the servant of the high priest's ear and took it off. But Jesus knew Judas's heart and said, Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Luke 22:48. Friend, do that for which thou art come. This was to show Judas that Jesus understood his treacherous act. Jesus did not hide or run or offer any resistance, but went forth out of the enclosure and shadow of the garden into the full moonlight. And stepping to the front in advance of his disciples, he asked, Who seek ye? John 18:4. The reply was, Jesus of Nazareth. Awed by his presence and his calm, majestic bearing as he stood alone and unarmed before them, he promptly replied, I am he. And they went backward and fell on the ground. They were either overawed by his majesty, or he struck them down by miraculous power. Again Jesus asked, Whom seek ye? And again they replied, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus again replied, I told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that is, do not arrest or molest his disciples. Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant's ear and cut it off. It was his right ear. But Jesus told Peter to replace the sword in his sheath, for he must drink this cup. And whoever takes the sword shall perish with the sword. John 18:3-11. Matthew 26:5-52. We read in John 18:3-11. Judas then, having received the bands of soldiers and officers of the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things were coming upon him, went forth and saith unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, he betrayed him, was standing with them. And when therefore they said unto him, I am he, they went backward and fell on the ground. Again therefore he asked them, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the word might be fulfilled which he spake, Of whom thou hast given me, I lost not one. Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. Now the servant's name was Malchus. Jesus, therefore, said unto Peter, Put up the sword into the sheath, the cup which the Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? We'll continue this with the next class.